It's the Radbird Reboot Podcast. Are you ready to get rebooted, Cardinals fans?
He settles down, at least in the zone, and does not stop running.
Blake Murphy.
This is the identity for the Arizona Cardinals.
The run defense is just horrendous, and it's been horrendous for the Cardinals for a long time.
And Marcos Labrada.
He's going to bring over his philosophy. It should make it better.
Present the hottest NFL podcast from the country's hottest state.
He should be turning around the logo.
Actually, some breaking news we can cover here. This popped up just about, 6 minutes ago.
It's Redbird Reboot.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and otherwise, welcome to the Redbird Reboot. We've got Blake Murphy, as always, joined by Pancake Soul Marcos Labrada, and today is going to be a kind of fun exercise. We're going to be doing a first round plus a little extra mock draft for every single team. Marcos, the NFL draft less than 2 weeks away. For a lot of Arizona sports fans, it's been a rough last couple of weeks for the most part with stuff with the Suns, a good win last night, the Coyotes, there's all sorts of areas. It's nice to be able to have the NFL draft, something where you can look forward to new talent joining our local football boys. How are you doing as we head into this Saturday, knowing that we're just a little under 2 weeks away from Roger Goodell walking up onto that stage and a new member joining the air or two with the two first round picks this year joining the Cards?
Well, I'm feeling excited as it starts to ramp up. Like I said, everything starts ramping up. All content starts ramping up all over the place. It's all about rookie talk. I mean, not rookie talk. It's all about prospect talk. It's all about what can happen, what trades are possible, what scenarios can we find ourselves in. Obviously, our anxiety starts hitting the roof because we are the majority of the fan base is so instilled on just one person and saying, you know what, we got to draft that guy in order to forward the success path of our offense. And, you know, the quarterback that we have, Kyler Murray, would probably benefit greatly from a player like him. But we never know what's going to happen. And like I said, that's not our job. It's the general manager's job. So obviously he gets all the pressure. But we're always kind of nudging him, or we're just trying to say, like, look, man, it's really not that. It's really simple. This is about as home run as it gets and whatnot. And if you are going to do something, make sure it's a good payoff for it. But it is what it is. I mean, I hope everybody that's been following the draft or knows anything about what's going on, that they're getting themselves very acclimated to all the, you know, the prospects coming in.
Yes. And this is the time when I think most NFL fans who've kind of taken a break for a while and looked at other sports will finally jump back into looking into the draft, because this is when all of the mock drafts start coming out. This is when a lot more news starts coming out. There hasn't honestly been that much news with the Arizona Cardinals over the last few weeks. There's, I know, a couple of more workouts that they've had with some different players, but it's usually after the draft. You'll see sometimes teams will bring in a guy for a private workout and then they will draft him. Other times it'll just be for a medical recheck to kind of say, hey, we weren't sure about the medicals. We brought the guy back in. We can clear him or move him off. We're going to do an exercise where I'll be picking the odds for this first round of the mock draft. Marcos, you'll be picking the evens. We'll act as the general manager for each of these different teams. And that means starting with the Chicago Bears. Of course, we'll jump right into it. This is a place where, Marcos, some people have wondered, do the Bears try to trade back with Washington if they give up draft picks? Do the Bears kind of swerve? And after they traded Justin Fields, it was pretty obvious what was going to happen. They're going to be taking Caleb Williams, number one overall. One of the most talented quarterback prospects that we've seen in a few years, kind of up there within the Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if he's more talented in terms of that. I think that he kind of falls in that spectrum of not as same guy as Andrew Luck, not quite the same as maybe even we saw from a few years ago with Joe Burrow, but he's not just crazy athletic as far as being able to run around, but he can throw off balance. He's got incredible vision. And I think the biggest thing people haven't seen and wondering, what is it with him? It's not just people giving Mahomes comps, but I think it's that he processes the game at a very fast level. It's not that he is Patrick Mahomes right now. I think we forget Mahomes coming out. Some people even said he was a second rounder, should go later in the first round. I think that he's one of those guys that clearly has not just a great upside, but his floor is high enough that you'll probably be able to have a winning record with him as a quarterback, especially with the likes of the talent on defense, Keenan Allen and DJ Moore there in Chicago.
Yeah, the Carolina Panthers couldn't have gifted a better player over to the Chicago Bears to start off their, like what you would say, like somewhat of a retool rebuild situation. And if this guy does not pan out for like the Chicago Bears, I mean, I have no idea what to say about that franchise. At that point, I'm just saying, you know what? You guys just can't draft quarterbacks, or you guys cannot like develop any quarterbacks. It has to be up to them about whether his success hinges on whether he has the pieces around him or not, or whether he's just able to develop in that like situation. But yeah, like this guy wins from the pocket. He doesn't try to like scamper too fast. He tries to like, you know, maneuver himself within his own offensive line that I kept hearing is one of the worst offensive lines in the NCAA. So for this guy, it's almost like, hey, if this franchise does a deal, passes up on him, and he becomes like Caleb Williams that we expect him to be somewhere else, that's a general manager getting fired. So yeah, they're just going to take him.
Yeah, there's a lot of people I know, at least, who have wondered, like, is he a diva? Do people like him? One of the biggest things that's come out from the draft process has been his teammates at USC love him. And a lot of times, if that's the case, it's easier to not worry. The movie Draft Day had the best example where it's like, hey, you want to draft this quarterback? Who came to his birthday party? Like, no one did. There are players like that you can win with in the NFL. There's also players who you can build your team around. Caleb Williams is one of those players. It's a no-brainer first pick. Now you got an interesting case on your hands, Marcos. The Washington Commanders, huge quarterback need. They've got a bunch of receivers. It's pretty early for a defensive player. How do you see this playing out, and who would you take with the number 2 overall pick?
I mean, everything is pointing out to go towards Jaden Daniels at the second pick. And it's not so much that I'm not sure why that's going to be the situation, because I get Jaden Daniels is very talented, and I get that he won the Heisman last year and he showed out like with really good like throws and really good not pocket awareness, but being able to like basically hit his guys in stride. So that's the good thing about Jaden Daniels. Plus he has the athleticism. I think they're just mostly saying that because Cliff Kingsbury just came off of like coaching Kyler Murray in the NFL. Kyler Murray, obviously we know he's athletic. He can run the ball, but he can also like throw the ball really well. So to him, it's like, who's the best comp? Like, what's the closest to Kyler Murray that he can get? Well, it's Jaden Daniels. And that means that Drake May is not going a second overall pick. And I don't know if I agree with that, because Drake May might be the better prospect in the situation, like overall as a QB, but it's almost as if they're saying like he's not the better fit for like Cliff Kingsbury. But the air raid is supposed to be a one size fits all like type of situation where every quarterback, it doesn't matter if you're athletic, it doesn't matter if you run the ball well, it doesn't matter if you're just a pocket passer. It's supposed to be a situation where it doesn't matter what kind of quarterback you are, it's supposed to fit your system. They just feel that that's going to be the case because he just got done, you know, coaching Kyler Murray in the NFL. So if he's coming back to the NFL, maybe he should start again with having another prospect that can run that shotgun, like QB, like that QB read shotguns, like spread offense and whatnot. The one where he can like fake the handoff and take it himself. So I think I'm just going to have to go with Jaden. Yeah, Jaden Daniels.
I agree with you in that I have Drake May as the better prospect. I think a lot of people, and this is something I had to learn from, when I looked at Justin Herbert at Oregon, I was like, oh, this guy is just not going to be able to pan out. Like, he would lose to Arizona State's defense. And I think looking at the structure around a quarterback, we can forget. I think if you swap the two quarterbacks, we would be talking about Drake May as no question because of the talent. Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., strong run game. The concerns I have for Jaden is not just that he's a little bit skinny and he'll sometimes like act like he's Josh Allen or Cam Newton where he runs and he's just not that big. I do think that they seemed like they brought in Cliff because Cliff would help fit Jaden with some of the quick passing, like you said, the deep throws, There was a lot of times that Jaden threw out of a slot fade to Malik Nabers, and I'm like, that looks straight out of the playbook of Kyler throwing to Christian Kirk. If it were up to me, I probably would have gone to a different sort as far as with Drake May with some of those weapons, but I think if they get Jaden, best case, he'll rush for quite a few yards, and he's got the athleticism to make that happen, and he'll throw for a lot of yards as a rookie. I think that they can win now quicker, even if I think that it's a better long-term case. Now let's get to the New England Patriots. So from what we know of the Patriots, almost everyone is expecting them to stay and take a quarterback. This is a place where I think there's some people early in the process went and thought that this would be a Marvin Harrison Jr. landing spot, that this would be a place that the Patriots could even trade back from this spot, pick up extra draft picks, and then maybe target a Dak Prescott as a free agent or get someone in next year's draft. I think that what the waves coming out of New England wouldn't shock me would be if they did decide to trade back, and it would be a team with like the Vikings or someone moving up into the top three. But I also don't think that you're going to be able to get a better quarterback prospect on a cheaper deal to be able to help jumpstart your rebuild than by taking Drake May here. It reminds me of when everyone said, hey, the Cardinals have no talents in offense besides, you know, you got Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk showed up some as a rookie. There was just not a defense there intact, and you still saw just how that rookie quarterback contract was able to get the Cardinals to the playoffs. I think that I take Drake May here, excuse me, not Drake Blake. He's my number two overall quarterback prospect. I think that he belongs closer to the Caleb Williams category than to the Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy category. That's just me. I know people are going to look at his completion percentage. They're going to look at some of the plays and other turnovers. I think when you watch a lot of the tape, there were some insane throws that he made with a lot of pressure, not good line play. His best receiver, Tez Walker, was essentially like out, couldn't play for the first half of the season. I saw enough where I think that I've learned in the past that you can get burned by having a quarterback who just doesn't live up to it, but he really is produced at a higher level than like most any other college quarterback outside of Caleb and Jaden. And that's with a lesser team and lesser talent. I'm taking Drake May here because I think if you're the Patriots, job security can come from the quarterback position, and they're going to have so much more flexibility, I think, now than losing for another year and having to take a guy in what may not be a great quarterback class or having to pay $45, $50 million for Dak Prescott if he does end up leaving Jerry World next year. So I would be taking Drake May with this third overall pick.
And see, that 100% like makes sense when it comes to the Patriots, because I was thinking for a while, hey, Drake May is seen as the number two prospect. He's going to be the number two overall pick. Jaden Daniels is probably going to be the number three overall pick. And it's crazy to think that Jaden Daniels was going to get drafted by the New England Patriots and number three overall, because I just didn't really see that like fitting so well. But someone like Drake May seems like he would fit better in the New England type of system, especially with like what they want to do is they want to get that rebuild again. And they're not known for having like, they've only had one instance where they had like a mobile quarterback. That's Cam Newton. And it was for that 1 year. But like, other than that, they're just known for having somebody that's like a pocket passing type of, you know, like, hey, we're just going to have this guy dissect the defenses. He's going to pick your defense all over the field and whatnot, find the open man. So yeah, it makes sense that they would take Drake May. So to them, they're blessed. They caught that Cliff Kingsbury is the offensive coordinator for the Commanders.
I totally agree. All right. Number fourth overall pick, Marcos. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of trade interest here. What is your plan for what you do with the Arizona Cardinals and their spot? Let's say that you got to put your Monty, I'd say hat on, but let's say the Monty bald cap on, at least for the most part, because, you know, you got to love that man being able to work the phones and everything last year. Are you working the phones again this year, or are you going to stick and pick? What are your thoughts?
I'm listening. So I'm listening for the phones, and I'm like the basically what I'm trying to think about where I'm going to move down from. So who's calling me? So if it's like Tennessee that's calling me, which I'm not sure, maybe, yeah, they would call for Marvin. Atlanta, they possibly can call for Marvin, but like how far down am I moving? And, like from those options, you got pick 11. That's too far down. See, that's where I'm like thinking to myself, that's already too far down. The Bears, that's too far down. Like, I wouldn't want to move to those positions because you already know Marvin's going number four, no matter who takes that spot.
Four or five, yeah.
Very pick after that. It's a very good chance Malik Nabers goes to the Chargers, or they might pick an offensive lineman. It could be possible that they might get Joe Alt, which means at number six, Malik Nabers is most likely going there. Mm-hmm. No matter what, he's going to be gone by number six. Number seven, because Tennessee and the Falcons aren't really – they don't have much interest in moving up with the Cardinals, especially not at what we're seeing here. I mean, I could see maybe Rome Odunze going to them. But if I can chance it to like the number 11th pick that he would be there, which I don't think he will be, then we pretty much have lost that one opportunity to get that one guy who we believe is going to be that get up and go like 50-50 ball, like beast that Kyler Murray has needed in this offense because of the fact that like Kyler is really dependent on that third down target. And you've seen it last year, Blake. Remember last year, third downs were just like dump offs. Time and time again, third down, came around, dump off.
They just were not able to really see wide receiver one play from Hollywood. They were missing that big target in the red zone until I think Trey McBride got going. It feels like that this is just a team that not a single one of their receivers has more than 600 yards in a season right now. So you just have a huge wide receiver need. I think the big question is, do you feel like the Cardinals could trade back and then trade back up? Because some people have thought, oh, there's going to be a team that gives them a Godfather offer, whether it's going to be an offer you can't refuse from the Vikings, an offer you can't refuse from maybe a team like the Broncos who are trotting out Jarrett Stidham. There's a lot of interesting questions with the Cardinals in terms of people are wanting to kind of move up for a quarterback. I kind of am in more agreement where I do not believe that you could say, like, let's say we trade back to pick number six. Do you really think that the Chargers, if they have Marv on the board, are going to say, yeah, we're still taking an offensive lineman. We are going to just not worry about receiver. They trade away both of their starting receivers. I have a feeling that the Chargers would be fine with moving down and taking a lineman if they get a good enough offer, but I could also easily see them staying put and taking a guy like Malik Nabers. I think that Rome, as far as for where he goes, some people say they like him a bit better. And I think that there's not as much opportunity for failure, but like we talked about last time on our podcast, if he's closer to like a Miles Austin, where you're not talking about maybe a top five, but maybe a top 10 receiver, that's still pretty good. Maybe you could say that plus a first round pick is worth it, but the end of the day, it really depends. Are you willing to risk moving off of Marv and then trying to get back to the next pick or risk him falling to pick number six? You're the trigger man here, Marcus. You've got all of those different areas and possibilities. Obviously, the teams that are all looking to trade up with you are quarterback needy. And the Giants, probably going to move on from Daniel Jones. The only exception would be these Chicago Bears, who they only have four picks or so left in the draft, but they've been linked to Odunze. There's been talk amongst Bears fans that, hey, maybe if the Cardinals trade back to 11 from 4, could we get up with 5 to the Chargers? And then the other teams after that within the Vikings and Broncos are both looking to move up. The Las Vegas Raiders, I think, could also be potentially looking, but with Jaden Daniels off the board, I think that's less likely. So I guess it comes down, what decision do you want to make for the Cards? You dealing the pick, you trying to deal the pick and see about moving up, or are you just going to stay put?
It's too much variable, so I'm just going to stay. I know it's the boring thing to do, but I think it's the one thing that like induces less anxiety. Like, sorry, guys, I'm not going to make this interesting because, hey, to be honest with you, if I was picking number four overall, I'm not going to do too much. I'm not going to listen to the phones. If I have Kyler Murray as my quarterback, and I have possibly both him and Paris Johnson in my ears, and I believe that Kyler Murray, if he was given the option, he probably would go with Marvin Harrison Jr. So I'm just going to stay with Marvin. Like, I'm going to make it that simple. My bad, guys. But hey, it's too much variables. I don't want to hinge this on a hunch.
Yeah, I think that that's one of the cases where if I'm Monty, I'm not trading back from pick four if I have Marv on the board, unless I have a deal already made with the Chargers to get back up to five. Just simple as it is. And like you said, it's still a risk that you'd probably have to make. So mm-hmm. I think we'll go ahead and draft Marv there at four. That brings up the Chargers at five. Now, this is more of a what we would do type of mock draft, as well as a little bit of what we think. And if I'm the Minnesota Vikings, I think if I'm moving up to Marv, you're probably going to say three first round picks is a lot. I know that there's been some questions the Vikings have had. There's also a recent article that came out saying, hey, are the Vikings really going to want to give up that 23rd pick? Like, they may want to give up 11 and a future first, but they're going to trade back from 23, take another player. Maybe they're even wanting to just give up a first and a third to move up. I think that if you are the Vikings in this spot, you got to look at the Giants saying, if we don't make a move, the Giants are probably going to be going and taking J.J. McCarthy. If we do go ahead and make a move, it probably have to be here at pick number five. And from everything that we know, Chargers have said openly they've wanted to move back. Jim Harbaugh has talked about an offensive lineman. I could probably take Joe Alt here. I could, even if it were me making that draft, I would even be tempted to stay put and take Malik Nabers here, because I think that he would be a perfect fit with how they have no receivers, how their offense is going to be a big play threat off of the play action. I think that they're going to look at Jim, and he's going to be a guy that's going to say, hey, I would love to be able just to move back. There's a bunch of great offensive tackles this year. I think that the Vikings, they're going to probably give up pick 11, pick 23. And I think if you end up looking at next year, I think that they would give up a first, but I think that it would be a round two pick maybe from the Chargers, or round three may come back. This is really tough to know. I think at the end of the day, the Chargers would be more than happy to say, hey, you know what? We'll take a round three pick this year in Detroit, and we'll take a round three pick next year. But you're going to have to send back, if you are the Chargers, probably a round three. I think that's actually a round four pick. I think round three at like pick 69 sent back. I think that's cheaper. You still keep your first round pick. You're going to have to move up in the first round. It's going to cost you that 23rd overall pick, but you're going to get back a higher draft pick from the Chargers, and you keep your first for next year. I think this could be a rare win-win for both sides, Marcos.
Yeah, I feel like that's a high price for them to pay with like JJ McCarthy, because
right,
like the hit rate, like it's insane. The hit rate on quarterbacks in the first round is about 33%. So maybe like a third of quarterbacks actually work out. And there's years where like there's not even one quarterback that actually pans out. And mm-hmm. it could be like a situation where like the quarterback that was taken in the fifth round was actually the one that came out. So it's just such a shoddy thing to hinge your franchise on. And I'm not sure where all this JJ McCarthy, like all this, like the, wherever, like, how did he rise so high up there? I even heard talks about him being like slated ahead of like Drake May, like mm-hmm. because of the issues that Drake May had towards like the end of his season, sure. where they started losing. He started showing some stuff on the film that was kind of like, you know, yeah, questionable,
rough turnovers. Yeah.
But JJ McCarthy doesn't show anything that makes me say like, oh yeah, that's definitely somebody I would take in the first round and then be confident on.
Top five. That's part of it too. It's a huge risk if you're going to move up for a quarterback in general. And I agree with you that to me, if it was me making the pick, and I am making this pick, I'd probably just as simply go after and get the likes of a Malik Nabers, because that's what I think would be the best fit and then the best talent in the situation. If you're offered enough to move back where you can get two draft picks, I think that would be the place where you can take it if you get two firsts. But I'm not tempted to just stay here to say, if I'm the Vikings, am I really going to give up that much? And I think he's a good fit. He's super young. He has the arm strength. I think that he could fall on the spectrum of anywhere between being like a more kind of Kirk Cousins type of quarterback who fits well. Maybe even look at Brock Purdy's success. He's joining Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and more. Maybe you also look at that and say, hey, Zach Wilson was a guy who got drafted, and he really did not pan out. He had the arm, he had the mobility, but just wasn't really showing some of the wow stuff on tape outside of a couple of out-of-structure wow throws. This is a tough choice. I think that if I'm the Vikings, I'm probably looking at this as a fit and looking at the long term, that if I do hit on JJ McCarthy and he can be that Kirk Cousins, then it's probably worth 11 and 23, yeah, but not my first rounder next year. And if I'm the Chargers, I'm probably going to need pick 23 if I'm going to come off of Malik Nabers or off of maybe my top offensive lineman on the draft. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is a coin flip, at least. I think the easiest example, Marcos, is we could offer this trade if we want and then see if it gets accepted. And then that may just kind of be where we go from there.
Yeah.
I think that that's the easy spot, because if you're picking the Giants, would you take a JJ McCarthy at six, or would you look at a Roma Dunze? I think is another part of the question. I'm going to go ahead here and
that's a good offer question. That. Yeah, and I would absolutely.
There we go. Awesome. We are now accepted. Here. It was accepted. And that's what I would guess Vikings. It is. It's a big risk, but you know what? You get your first round pick next year. You're going to be probably at about 8 to 9 wins this year when you've got a combination of Darnold and at least McCarthy once he gets used to the system. I think that if I'm the Vikings with Kevin O'Connell and he can beat Kirk Cousins, I pull the trigger. Otherwise, I'm probably going to take Nabers here and be like, all right, this is where Jim Harbaugh, he's been trying to get Marv to fall, trying to build up JJ McCarthy. He does build him up, but it's with the Chargers, not with him. I'm going to go ahead and take McCarthy here. This is a big move, but ultimately you get the rookie quarterback contract and you already traded up your second round picks for the next 2 years. I think you're kind of committed if you are the Minnesota Vikings. Brings us to your pick six with the New York Giants. 5 picks are down, 4 quarterbacks are off the board.
Yeah, I think this is kind of like going to be a situation where, so explain to me the situation with the Daniel Jones. Is he still going to be a Giant, or is he on the trading block?
He is a Giant, and he also had a season-ending injury. It's not, I think, going to be as bad as Kyler Murray's was, but it's kind of a place where if you look at where the Cardinals were in 2023 when Jonathan Gannon came in, people talking about trading Kyler, the coaching staff, they're all like, hey, this is our guy. We're going to plug in. And we saw that pan out. It just does not feel like the Giants have that same confidence or faith in Daniel Jones. And he tore his ACL last year pretty late in the season, so it's about 8 to 10 months of recovery. He's not going to probably start the season. They're kind of in the Cardinals Kyler Murray camp, with the exception of that, they didn't get that number 3 overall pick like Arizona did to be able to get the trade back. They're picking at 6. They're picking after there's the chance to get another quarterback, and not even a good spot for a trade up for a quarterback. I think in this spot, I'd probably go ahead and take either Nabers or Odunze and just have to wait it out, because it is way too early, in my opinion, to take a Bo Nix, a Michael Penix, a Spencer Rattler. I think you could draft one of those quarterbacks maybe in a second round later. Yeah, because I think they'll be there, and it's not as big of a dice roll as taking a guy right here. The question is, do you feel like you'd be looking to trade back from this spot, see if someone wants to jump ahead of the Titans?
What trade propositions are on the board? I want to take a look at that.
Yeah, because this may be building up future draft capital. So you've got the Bears at pick 9 are looking to move up, get one of those top receivers, you'd guess, and then the Chargers looking to move up potentially as well. I think that one's interesting, because let's say the Chargers love Joe Alt. The Tennessee Titans offensive line is terrible. Do you think the Chargers could themselves trade back up, get like a second round pick or something like that and get their guy, or would they just be happy to stay put, keep the extra picks and be able to retool the image of the team? Those are two realistic options, in my opinion, for potentially moving up, because it may be that if Malik Nabers goes here and Roma Dunze is there at 8, I don't know if Odunze is going to fall to number 9 without someone trading up. Maybe the Falcons themselves take him. There's some really intriguing options here for the Bears, the Giants, if they do want to trade back.
Maybe they'll just, I'm thinking maybe the Chargers will pull like the Arizona Cardinals of last year.
Ooh.
And they'll move back up. And so I'm going to go ahead and obviously offer to move back up, because what I believe they would want to do is they would want to obviously get a weapon for their quarterback, Justin Herbert, because one of the things that they have been not consistent on is having health at the wide receiver position, but having that threat that is speed.
So they've been known for being a very slow wide receiver core. So a lot of their, like, a lot of their offensive philosophy was just like, it's weird, but they made him into a quick passing machine. Justin Herbert, with the big arm that he has, throwing like 5 yard hitches on 90% of their offensive plays. So it's just a waste of talent and stuff. Yeah. So if you have
somebody, they didn't have like a run game, their injuries with galore, like they need a tackle pretty badly. And that was part of what we saw last year, was Herbert was just getting annihilated. Even at the start of the season, people remember that he took that hit to his ribs, delivered that pass downfield against the Chiefs. But it's just, they're in a weird spot where by trading away those guys in receiver and not having another guy at the offensive line, they kind of need both. But they have Greg Roman. They're going to try to be able to run the ball. I do think that there is a chance, like you said, that they could want to trade back up. And if you're looking at the draft capital, I always like to pull up the there's a couple of different draft value charts. There's a Jimmy Johnson trade chart team uses. There's also teams will use the Rich Hill is a guy who works for, I believe, Draft Tech. He's got this value. To move up as far as the cost from about 358 to 468, it's probably about 100 or so points. That averages out to be somewhere around a 53 pick. And usually picks are devalued at about around later than what they would be. So you'd be talking about, you probably have to give up a second rounder next year to have to move up straight up. That's going to be quite a bit. You got that pick 37 here at 162. If you can give up that pick and then get back like a, I would say probably a, probably be like a third rounder next year or so. It looks something like the Giants would be getting back pick 37 and they would give up next year's round 3 pick. That would probably work. And then you could see them move up, get Joe Alt. I think that they have a couple of other guys they like too. Fuaga is another possibility. There's a lot of great tackles in this draft. Do you think that this would be a move you'd make if you were the Giants picking at 6?
I think so. I think I would take that trade and then move back at that 37. Because this wide receiver draft, I know we constantly talk about like how Marvin, like he's the guy. But there are also a lot of other guys in this draft that like could develop and be like Pro Bowl type wide receivers. So if they need a weapon, they could always get him later. But if you're getting somebody that's trying to move back up and be aggressive, they're probably going to do something like move back up, either go one or two directions, go with Malik Nabers or Joe Alt. So I would say they would let's offer it.
Yeah, and we'll offer the trade. And I'll say this, contingent on trading back from pick 23 at the Chargers is why I think the Chargers would make this. They're able to get their guy. They're able to get draft picks at least galore that they've had with that trade down. They got enough to move up for their guy, and they're going to get more, I think, with trading back from pick 37. So I think that we go and offer that trade. And who would you take, Marcos, now if you were the Chargers? You got Malik Nabers and Joe Alt and Rome Odunze sitting right there.
Yeah, this is going to be the conundrum because I want my quarterback to hopefully be able to stay up and be injury free. But I also know that he has almost no weapons. So
yeah,
this is going to be tough. I think I would just take the offensive lineman because I think later on in the draft, you can get that weapon. So I would take Joe Alt.
Yeah, I think that that's a good reason to move back up. I would think that you would just stay put for an offensive lineman unless it's Joe Alt, who most sports books have going to this team with the Tennessee Titans. This is a unique spot. You've got Calvin Ridley signed to a long contract. You've got DeAndre Hopkins for another year. You're probably going to be looking at that offensive line saying there's a huge need, but your top lineman did just go. You still have plenty of other guys you can pick as far as from Talese Fuaga, Troy Fitanu. I know some people list him as a top guard. Olu Fashanu is there. The one that I'm curious about here when I'm picking for the odds is I really think that J.C. Latham is going to be a guy that actually sees his stock rise. But I don't know if I can just go ahead and say, hey, let's put J.C. Latham, put him out at left tackle. He's good to go. I think Fuaga is one of those guys that from all that we've seen so far, he's more ready to play now as a mauler. He can play at least in the run game and the pass game. I think that the Calvin Ridley signing pushes them just out of being able to go after Malik Nabers here. So I'll take Fuaga and be able to help that offensive line. What would be really funny, Marcos, would be you got Brian Callahan, who was recently coaching the Bengals. He took the receiver over the offensive lineman as part of the Bengals for Joe Burrow. So you then see this huge offense that gets to the Super Bowl, and then you see Joe Burrow like get hurt because they just don't have a capable offensive line. That makes it where I could see them going neighbors here, but I think with the money they've invested with Hopkins for another season, I don't think that they're going to be investing another receiver just yet. I think that they would wait another round to try to get a guy. And I would just take Fuaga here if I am the Titans, which leads us to the Atlanta Falcons. This is a interesting spot because they got Kirk Cousins. You probably could argue that they could take a receiver here. You could even argue that they could end up taking a top pass rusher here or even a cornerback. Teams could be trying to jump the Bears. What do you do if you are the Falcons?
I'm going to go with defense. This is going to be our first defensive pick of the draft. I'm going to go with possibly Jared Verse as the top defensive lineman. Latu, whatever his name is. He's like the issue is like if the doctors clear him, he might be a good choice. But yeah, it's between him, Dallas Turner, and Jared Verse. I think I would just let me look at his
Verse is one of those guys.
He's tall, but he's very unfit.
Exactly. He's also pretty much a heftier guy at 6'4", 260, very athletic. Like, I agree with you that Dallas Turner is a little bit more raw and maybe more athletic for some of the size. But Verse was productive over the last couple of years. He fits that mold. I think that that's a good draft pick. It would be interesting to see how teams stack that up because there are a couple of draft picks that are there, and Latu did have to medically retire. He did get his neck cleared. But you're talking about a guy who can be a stalwart for the Falcons. And that leads to the Chicago Bears, and boy, oh boy, you've got Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze here. I have to say, if I'm the Bears, I think Nabers is more of the DJ Moore type, and Odunze would be more of that guy who can make those big catches. You do have Keenan Allen, who's operating out of the slot. You also have some defensive needs. I think if I'm the Bears, I look at that quarterback in Caleb Williams and a 30-year-old Keenan Allen and say, hey, I could line up with DJ Moore as my Z, my flanker. I could line up as a slot with Keenan Allen, who can then be able to line up inside, outside, and then I can get Rome Odunze to kind of be in that prototypical X spot. All of a sudden, you've got all the recipe for success if you're the Bears. You sign Cole Kmet to a long contract. I wouldn't be shocked if they decided to take a corner here to add to that defense. I could see Quinyon Mitchell going. Some have argued edge rusher. I think that they've addressed some of that spot, but really it's an interesting place where I could see the Bears going any sort of direction here for the most part, even a trade back with a couple of different teams, because you could, if you're the Bears, trade back, get more picks. You only have 4 draft picks this year. I'm going to probably lean toward doing something that's not as expected and say, I'm betting that there's going to be a team that's going to jump up and get one of these top receivers. And that team is going to be, interestingly enough, the New York Giants. I'm going to have the New York Giants be the team that are going to be moving up with pick number 11. And I'm going to give up pick 70 to the Bears. The Bears are at pick 9. You move up 2 spots for the most part. And I think that the Bears will probably give up like a round 5 pick next year from LA. Just something to go back for the most part. Giants, they have got limits on picks. I think just a 2-for-2 swap, that will give the Bears, they don't have a second round pick. And I think that you're going to then see the New York Giants take Malik Nabers right here. Leads us to the Jets. Oh boy. Rome Odunze, Brock Bowers, and Jerzan Newton, Jerry Newton as he wants to be called, are on the board. You need a tackle. You need a receiver. You probably need to get a defensive lineman. What do you go for if you are the Jets with Aaron Rodgers coming back off of injury?
I think the number one thing has to be about protecting him. Not sure what the health is around all those offensive linemen, but when it comes to like rookie wide receivers around someone like Aaron Rodgers, he's been known for being a favoritism type of like player. That's the reason why he tries to pull for his wide receivers to come and join him, like, you know, over with the Jets after he left the, you know, the Green Bay Packers and whatnot. So he likes familiarity. So he had someone like Christian Watson, who I thought was going to be like, I was hoping the Cardinals were like,
draft him or give this guy an opportunity to like be the X receiver with us. Obviously that didn't work out because he went over to Green Bay and we didn't select him. But like he had that issue where he didn't want to throw any targets at him when he missed on that go ball. So it's going to be one of those situations where a lot of pressure is going to be put on this wide receiver and the trust might not be there. And as we know, confidence is everything for the wide receiver position. If your quarterback isn't willing to throw it to you, you're not going to produce. So I would go with offensive lineman. Next best offensive lineman is going to be, I think, Fuaga. I'm not sure. Yeah,
there is. So Troy Fitanu is the guy who could probably play guard or tackle. I know Dane Brugler has him as a guard. There's teams that have him at guard. Olufoshinu is the guy who's got the athleticism, is maybe a bit more raw. Latham is one of those guys who also could probably be right tackle or switch to guard later, which I think he's probably closer to a Tristan Wirfs. You're right. This is a tough spot. You need wide receiver. You need tackle. You've got Roma Dunze on the board still. You also need to protect Rodgers, who did get that Achilles tear last year. I think in this spot, that I agree with you, it probably is going to be better off taking like a tackle. And I think between those guys, it's kind of up to Troy or Fitanu or Olu, Fashanu, or I think it would be potentially even a move back for a team that wants to trade up for a receiver, and then you can still get a tackle. But I agree with you that you got to protect Rodgers. I think that there's going to be a guy that you can move up for if you need to at the top of round two for the receiving spot, and you do have Garrett Wilson on the team. There are some people who think, hey, get him a nice tight end target like Brock Bowers over the middle. I just feel like that's another possibility. But I also feel like if you get that guy here, and then let's say that you don't have that top 10 offensive tackle that you can get in the second round, I do not know if I would feel very comfortable with that. I think that we could probably go ahead and take the OT, but what do you think since you're the one making the decision for the Jets?
Well, I'm getting Fashanu. I'm gonna go ahead and go offensive lineman.
Sounds good. And in that case, hey, I traded back. I actually get lucky here. I'm going to take Roma Dunze if I'm the Bears, leading to the Denver Broncos. And here is where things get a little bit fun. Broncos are on the clock. They need a quarterback. They could also use a receiver. They shipped out Jerry Jeudy. Cortland Sutton is just not ready to be a true number one. He can be an X receiver. They've got quite a bit of needs as far as they got an edge rusher need. They could also use a corner to be able to pair with Pat Surtain. And this is, again, Todd, I think it would say, not Todd Bowles, sorry, he's the Buccaneers coach. You're talking about Vance Joseph, his defense with Sean Payton. This is the guy where I think if you're going to make one of those picks, I feel like you go with either a edge rusher to get after, replace the guy they shipped out last year, or get a cornerback would work, because I think it's a little too early for a quarterback, Marcos.
Yeah, I don't know if they want to take their chances with any quarterbacks that they have on the board. And as we've seen, Sean Payton is very picky when it comes to like his quarterback types and whatnot. So had they made a move, there's a possibility they could have moved up and, you know, done so. But if they didn't make a move at this point, yeah, I would think that they would unfortunately draft a defensive person for Vance Joseph. So it's either going to be a situation where they get the next defensive end or edge rusher, or maybe they'll go with Byron Murphy or Cooper DeJean. I'm not sure. I think I would. Yeah, that's going to be kind of hard.
That would be Cooper kind of DeJean, fun if they did there. Yeah,
I think I would go with Cooper DeJean only because the cornerback room is always so like small. So you really have no option but to have to play player. Like, that's one thing that Vance Joseph did do was he threw his corners out there because of the fact that the it's so limited and you had no choice but to do that. With an edge rusher, I have a feeling he's just going to slow his development, go ahead and talk about how, like, hey, he's not ready. I'm comfortable with my guys out there. Defensive line, maybe, but I just don't have confidence in him developing those type of players. So the best position that he could develop is probably cornerback. So I would probably go with Cooper DeJean.
And DeJean had an awesome workout. He's super talented. This is a guy who can play corner and safety. If you want to talk about like a Buda Baker, Jalen Thompson prototype, I think that that's a great pick to be able to make. this is a spot where if you're trying to trade up for a receiver, the last of the big three going at 11 to the Bears is unfortunate because the Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, is still looking for a weapon. Raiders, at least, are on the clock. And, like, I think that in this spot, you probably want to go with something in the trenches, potentially. You've got Troy Fatanu, who's there. You need a quarterback, but I think you probably target that guy and move up somewhere, maybe the end of the first or in the second round if you're the Raiders. I'll go quick here, and I'll take Troy Fatanu here because I think that you can slot him in either at guard or at tackle. And we know that they want to run the ball. They want to play tough defense in Las Vegas with their new head coach, and that's who I'll take there, which leads us to the Saints. They are probably going to roll with Derek Carr for at least another year. It's up to you as far as for quarterback need. They've got Chris Olave. I think that this is a spot where one of the offensive tackles could go, maybe an edge rusher. What do you think as far as for the Saints, who they're just a unique team? They kind of seem to swivel when everyone else swerves.
We have no idea what direction they're going to go and what they're going to do. They pretty much have been like kind of like walking in the desert after Sean Payton retired and then obviously got traded away. It's hard to figure this team out sometimes because do they need corner? Not really. Do they need safety? Not really. Do they need edge? They kind of do need edge. So I think I would just go with that position because I think they would try to go with a defensive player in the first round. I don't think their offensive line is completely horrible, and somehow they know how to develop offense. That's one place amongst other teams that know how to develop offensive linemen. So I don't think they would go offensive line with this pick. I think they would go with Latu.
I think Latu is a good spot. I could see them doing Byron Murphy as well. But like you said, this is a really talented pass rusher that they'd have for the most part, at least. And the biggest thing has been the medicals. He could go in and be able to replace their longtime edge rusher that they've had on the Saints, which I believe he's from the Cameron Jordan, I think at least is his name. And he is really good, but he's also 34 years old. Like, you need to at some point get someone in there. I think having him for a season along with Laiatu Latu will be able to help a lot. So I agree with that. This brings us to the Colts, and you might be looking at some of these players and receivers. You might say, hey, the Colts could use a cornerback. I think Quinyon Mitchell could go here. They also could use a receiver. Brock Bowers is still on the board. In this spot, I'm going to say, look, Bowers, we don't know as much about the athleticism. We know Quinyon Mitchell has the athleticism. The level of competition's a little bit different. It really comes down to, do you want to surround Anthony Richardson with talent, or do you want to try to help boost the defensive side? I'm going to take Quinyon Mitchell here because I think that he is probably the best in terms of being able to play as a press corner, being able to be aggressive, being able to get interceptions. And it's a tough choice, but if you're going to talk about the first round tight end hit rate and say that maybe this could be like the floor for Bowers where he could go just to get another weapon, I think this is a deep enough receiver class where you can probably get one of those guys round two. You're not going to get a Quinyon Mitchell round two, and that's who I'll take.
Hey, good pick. All right, here we go with the Seahawks. Oh boy, yeah, I'm gonna try to ruin this franchise by picking
punter. Careful. This is this is something that
I'll go with
the punter at least.
I'll get the punter.
That's funny. In this spot for Seattle, you need a guard, you need a center, you need an edge, you need anything kind of on the defensive side. Could see a tackle here because last year they had Abraham Lucas was not healthy and that kind of ruined their team. Like, I'd be looking at offensive tackles hard here if I'm the Seahawks. Latham could probably play guard or tackle, honestly. And if Lucas doesn't pan out, you can put him at tackle. Otherwise, plug him in at right or left guard, I think would be what I would see. Is this a spot where you think that the Seahawks could even, like, do they take a quarterback here? Like, this is just kind of a unique place for them to be in. You also have a defensive head coach in Mike McDaniel. You've got an edge rusher on the board in Dallas Turner who's still there. There's some good options if you are a Seahawks fan that's available here at this pick.
Well, they've also obviously been very tied to that one quarterback. And that quarterback is it's not Bo Nix. It's
You're right. Michael Penix Jr.
Michael Penix Jr.
got his offensive really coordinator connected. From Washington, goes to Alabama, leaves to go there. That's something that'd be very interesting.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think they would definitely go with Michael Penix, because obviously they have confidence in their quarterback right now, but I don't think they have that much confidence where they're gonna make him the quarterback for the next 10 years or whatnot. They want to obviously develop somebody behind them. Of course, it's going to be a pain in the butt when it comes to like having to switch over your offense and make it into a left-handed type of offense, because offensive coordinators like have a hard time with that. So when he has the offensive coordinator that he had before and he had that connection, I think it's just going to be like a no-brainer that if Michael Penix is right there, they're going to take him. So I'm going to go with Michael Penix.
I don't know if I would see it in the first round, but I do also think teams can be kind of crazy when it comes to quarterbacks. Like, we've seen quarterbacks go super high that shouldn't. We've seen teams that will like do it separately. I wondered if Seattle may try to trade up quite a bit to the end of the first round or early second for him, but there's no guarantee that he would be there. You've got teams at least that are picking super late in the process, probably don't need a quarterback, but they could trade back with a team at the top who does. Let's go ahead and take Penix, and we'll try to speed round since I know we've got about 10 minutes left before our hour is up. Jaguars are here. There's going to be probably another guard need that they have. They also really need a cornerback, and Terrion Arnold is right there on the board. This is a spot where Byron Murphy is also a talent that we've seen kind of seems to fall in a lot of the mock drafts where people just don't value defensive tackle as much. Brock Bowers is also there on the board, and you know what? This is a spot where I think if you get one of the big three wide receiver targets, you're good. If you get a top cornerback, I bet that they could go with a Ricky Pearsall or someone second round. I'll take Terry and Arnold here. And now you've got at pick 18, Marcos, I think I know who I'm taking here, and it's the top rated player on the board. We don't know if T. Higgins is going to be around long term. We know the Bengals are going for it this season. And you got a guy sitting right there that could catch passes from Joe Burrow. Do you see a better solution to go to? Their number one need is tight end for the Bengals, after all.
I mean, he would be gifted and going to that franchise. Absolutely, they'll take Brock Bowers right there because, yeah, you're right. If they need more targets, plus they didn't just lose T. Higgins, they lost their they lost their number three target as well. I believe
Tyler Boyd. I know at least Tyler Boyd. Yeah, been separately. Yeah.
Yeah. So, now you only have like one main target that you can throw to. Yeah. Brock Bowers is probably the for sure pick over here. And it kind of sucks that he fell this far in our mock draft. And I'm sorry, Walter, if you're watching, that we pushed him all the way back to this position, but
I think it's realistic. If the Jets don't take him and if the Colts go defense, I think it's realistic that he could fall there. Maybe the Jaguars would take him, but I think that would be interesting to see. Pick 19 on the clock, the Rams. This is a spot where I think as a Cardinal, I'd be looking to see, could I move up for one of those other players? You've got Jerry Newton, you've got Byron Murphy, you've got Dallas Turner here as the edge rusher. All of these, I think, are guys that the Cardinals could probably go after. I think as far as for my favorite player, I would probably pick Jerry Newton here if it was me. Byron Murphy, though, is definitely the one who's a little bit safer. He's a full 300-pounder, whereas Jerry Newton is going to be a little bit lighter at 295. Newton is the closest thing to Aaron Donald in this draft. They've got needs at tackle, the defensive line. They could even use an edge rusher like a Dallas Turner. I would probably say that I'll take Jerry Newton here slightly over Byron Murphy, and I'll hate it as a Cardinals fan if this happens, but I think you'd try to jump the Rams, if you're a Cardinals fan, for Newton, if you want him on the defensive line. He also signed some defensive linemen. I think I'll take Newton here. He's maybe the best defensive player in the draft, and of course he goes to a division rival.
Of course.
And now it comes to pick number 20. Marcos, I am the Cardinals picking at 27, and I'm calling you on the phone because I see the Dolphins are coming up with a need on the offensive line, the need on the defensive line. I see that they could be even looking for an edge rusher potentially. I'm calling you to see if the Steelers are going to want to trade back to pick up a tackle or a receiver somewhere in this draft, because I got Byron Murphy, I got Dallas Turner, I got J.C. Latham on the board. Heck, you've even got a Kool-Aid McKinstry. You could even say a Jackson Powers Johnson if you wanted to argue. The Cardinals could draft a stud center, maybe move it. There's all sorts of options here. I got a couple extra third-round picks. I'm making you an offer if you're the Steelers, with the Cardinals to be able to move on up to this spot and jump the Dolphins.
Oh, I'm listening. All right, so let's go ahead and see what this deal will like what this deal pans out to.
Yep. So if I'm the Cardinals, I'm going to give up pick 162, kind of do a pick swap at least here with the Steelers and get my 178 pick back. I got 27-71. If the Steelers aren't going to take that, and obviously like they have it set up where we can force this trade. If you're the Steelers, you've got no pick between pick 51 and 84. Suddenly you go down seven spots. You get an entirely different draft pick in each of those. And the Steelers even will get to swap up probably about 10 or so picks in a later round. I think that if I'm the Cardinals and I can move up, this is probably the pick I'm making. And I'll even throw in a round four pick next year. That's where I think at least that you can get that set. And as I'm a Cardinals fan, now I'm on the board. You've got Byron Murphy is maybe one of the best defensive linemen, Dallas Turner, the edge rusher, J.C. Latham. All of these are needs for Arizona. Which one are you taking, Marcos?
I'm going to go ahead and take Byron Murphy Jr. because I really like the type of prospect that he's become. And we do need that stud like defensive tackle finally, because we've been like, not only have we been like just like ignoring that position and demonstrably so, but we need somebody who's going to be a stud. So I believe Byron Murphy Jr. will be that. That'll be the second time we drafted Byron
Honestly,
Murphy.
They've not gotten after a defensive tackle for a number of years. They've added defensive tackles to their group. They like to rotate through guys. You still are wondering about that edge rusher. I would even wonder and think about, and this is just going to show the context here. This is the reaction after, I believe it was a 40-yard dash that came from, I believe it was, Dallas Turner. That was Monty for you. He's still here on the board. Maybe if it was me making the pick, I would say that, but I agree with you that Dallas Turner's stock has seemingly slid, and Byron Murphy seems as sure a thing as possible. Let's go ahead and give them Byron Murphy the second. Snipe him away from where I think he would have gone at 21 to the Dolphins. Dolphins have needs on the offensive line, the defensive line. I think in this spot, as we kind of wrap up there, let's go ahead and give them an offensive tackle. We don't know if their tackle is going to be set up for success. We'll take J.C. Latham here. Gives you the Eagles. They're going to be probably looking for a receiver, a linebacker, and a defensive back. I see Nate Wiggins mocked here a lot. I think that Kool-Aid McKinstry is more likely. You're picking for here, Marcos. Who do you take at 22?
I'm taking corner, so I'm taking Kool-Aid.
That's right. It's probably, I like him a little more than Terry and Arnold, but I do think that Arnold's a bit more physical. Just really depends on your style of defense. That leads us now to the Los Angeles Chargers, and Amarius Mims is sitting right here for me. Chargers obviously had already taken their top offensive lineman. You question, could this be the spot where they actually go out and could take another receiver? Could they go and take another player at a different position, like on the defensive line? You've got Brian Thomas Jr. sitting here. I honestly am looking at the whole thing going, you know what? That seems to make some sense as far as when you're talking about being able to run the ball and being able to be strong in the trenches. There's not a defensive lineman here that I really feel like I like overall for the Chargers. I think in this spot, honestly, you might just be willing to say, could we take the pass rusher, get that guy who's here? I just don't know if they're going to make that move. I think that you go ahead and stick Brian Thomas Jr. here because you're not going to get a guy with those measurables in the next spot. Maybe he could be your Michael Crabtree. Oh, Cowboys, this is interesting where people have tied them to Tyler Guyton. They've tied them to Graham Barton. They've been tied to, they just don't have a tackle right now on like the right or the left side. They could use a number two wide receiver. Maybe there's an edge rusher spot where you could use after this, because after all, they've got a guy who's 30 years old, I think now, in DeMarcus Lawrence, who is actually, let me get his exact age, 31 years old, Dallas Turner. That would be kind of a Jerry Jones pick, but it's up to you, Marcos. Who are you giving them?
Oh, these guys know how to pick first rounders, that's for sure. So it almost seems like anybody they pick, they'll just go ahead and get him. So, yeah, he would do a Dallas Turner. Not just because of the fact that, like, he's like the top edge rusher and he's the flashiest one, but come on now.
It's
Dallas.
I will say this, though. It's Dallas. It's flashy. They need a tackle. Now, Graham Barton, I think, is either can play tackle or guard. Tyler Guyton's even been linked to them. I would lean toward a tackle here, I think, is the biggest difference I would make. But it might be that they just go something crazy and take Dallas Turner. But that would be the one thing I'd say is I have a hard time seeing them passing on Mims if he is there, depending on how the medicals go. Still, it's up to your pick. You want to go with Turner?
I'm going to go with Turner.
Let's go with Dallas Turner getting that pass rush. Now you got Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Dallas Turner. Whew, all right. Green Bay Packers, at least, are here on the clock. They've got offensive linemen need. I could give them Graham Barton or Marius Mims. I think Barton is the guy that's going to honestly fit them a bit better. I would give them Barton here, which leads us to Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They could use an interior offensive lineman. They could probably even use an edge rusher. There's questions about if they need to draft a receiver after Mike Evans here. There's all sorts of spots that are possible for them. What do you think you'd go with for the Buccaneers?
They're going to kick the can down the road on wide receivers. So I think what they're going to do is draft offensive linemen. So Amarius Mims, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know about their left tackle situation. We know they've got an awesome right tackle. This would allow them to run the ball to help protect Baker. It's good value here. I could also see them going Jackson, Powers, Johnson, and getting a starting center because their top center retired. That's the one thing that I'll probably say is I think he goes with this pick or the next pick. I think that if you're going to take Mims here and I'm the Steelers at 27, now I'm going to get Jackson Powers Johnson, who I don't think will be a first round pick. I think he's going to fall into the second round, but this is one of the areas where we're making a mock draft based on that and needs. And they just have a need at center that's so bad. They have Mason Cole as their starting center the last two seasons. Huge upgrade that they'll get for Russ under that. Buffalo Bills, they've got a huge wide receiver need. They need to be able to replace Stephon Diggs. There also is a probable offensive tackle need. There's a Tyler Guyton still on the board. I kind of would say, hey, if you can get an Adonai Mitchell at 6'4", who can catch the ball downfield, super fluid, and being a red zone target, like, you've got your two tight ends. You got a need at receiver. He's got some of that height and leaping ability. I like him a little more than I like a Ladd McConkey type around here for that fit. And I think that I would probably say I would go with that, but you're the one making the pick for the most part. Would you rather go to a defensive lineman, a linebacker, or are you going to take one of the top receivers here on the board?
I'm getting Adonai Mitchell because he's like, I really love this guy. And if we ever find ourselves in a situation where we're this far deep, I would just pick Adonai Mitchell because he's a really good, really fluent, like route runner. He just runs his routes so like it's just crazy just to look at him. And I mean, he has the size and he has the speed. So yeah, I'm taking Adonai Mitchell.
Yeah, there he goes off the board. Now, this is an interesting spot for Detroit because they have unique looks. Like last year, they took a running back, they took a linebacker. They do have a need as far as the interior where I know that they've got a couple of guys at least, or like some people wondered at least if could they get Zach Zintern like the second round. Zach Frazier is a guy that's been linked to them. They also have a need at corner. Cam Sutton had an issue. They traded for another corner. You've got Nate Wiggins that's still sitting at here staring at me, and that's someone that I think can plug in. He's a bit slight, but I think that he's one of those guys who played well enough, has a good athletic profile. I would say that I think I can get an offensive lineman, like a center or a guard, a little bit later. I'm going to go, though, not with one of those guys. I'm going to go with Mike Sainristil, who is actually, in my opinion, a better corner. And I think that that would be maybe one of those surprise first rounders that hits because he's just a super solid player. Michigan's corners did an awesome job in that national championship game. I think that's going to be one of those surprise first round picks that pops up and the slighter corner will fall down, which leads us to the Baltimore Ravens. Boy, they've got the draft falling to them here if they want the likes of a Nate Wiggins with a need at corner. They also have another couple of receivers like McConkey. They've got an offensive lineman or two that they could take here. What are your thoughts for the Ravens?
They're going to take corner. I believe they're going to take Nate Wiggins. If he falls that far down, no, not that far down, but if he falls...
He's still some people's corner one, at least. Like, he was tempted to go in the 20s, at least. They may just let the board come to them, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great gift for them, at least.
All right, so now this is an interesting spot for the Niners. I feel like they're going to work something out with Brandon Ayuk. I just don't see them just trading him away to a different team for the most part. Maybe you could argue that they could trade him away for the 17th pick and get a receiver to replace him, where Ayuk ends up in Jacksonville. I think in this spot, they're looking as far as the offensive linemen go as one of the things. They also, I think, are going to be in an interesting spot where they could take a guard or a tackle. I think in that regard, I don't see them taking Tyler Guyton, who's a little bit raw, who has the athleticism. I think that they could go ahead and take him, but they were just in the Super Bowl last year. Obviously, you want to be able to replace the likes of your starting left tackle in Trent Williams. I'll have them at least going and taking Jordan Morgan, who is probably a guy that's going to be lining up as a offensive guard maybe in the first year, which fits a need. Maybe he'll be lining up as a tackle at some point. He's played very well when he was at tackle. I could see that, or I could see them using Tyler Guyton as far as for a blocker. I think in this one, it'd be almost a coin flip for me. I think I'll take the bet on the longer armed guy with Tyler Guyton, who I know can make good plays in space and trust that I can develop him and be able to plug him in on the right side and eventually maybe make him take over for Trent Williams. And now you get the Chiefs at least here picking. And obviously you got a need for a receiver. We don't know who their starting left tackle is. There's a couple of different options here. I think you're probably looking between... If it's not going to be one of the defensive linemen guys, I think you're probably going to be looking between a wide receiver. You're probably going to be looking at an offensive tackle here. And of those guys, Jordan Morgan kind of stands out to me. Maybe you can look at some of the other tackles. It's been pretty tackle heavy. What are your thoughts for what you would do here if you are the Chiefs, Marcos?
I would probably just go with the top wide receiver prospect. Mostly because I know people think that like he's like they're set with Hollywood Brown, but that's Rashee just a target. Rice,
there's issues with him. So
I'd just go with the best offensive. I mean, wide receiver available.
And I think this is one of those like Ladd McConkey to there. I don't think it'll be quite the same as Cooper Kupp, but he's a guy I have as a top five receiver in this class. Constantly gets open, just gives Patrick Mahomes a consistent weapon who can take some of the Rice routes as well. Leads us now to the Carolina Panthers, who need receiver, 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 receiver. I'm the Panthers, and I'm looking in this spot. I'm kind of looking at least, and I'm not the biggest Troy Franklin guy, but I do think that between his hands, Pearsall's athleticism, Keon Coleman, you got two upcoming picks. I think in this place, for the most part, I'm probably going to be taking a guy in Roman Wilson who's a consistent slot receiver, knowing that there's upside there. Franklin can play outside. There's a little bit, at least, where he's at a very smoothness, a good wide receiver, too, who was good for Bo Nix. I honestly think that I'm probably going to be just saying, let me get someone who's consistent that I know I can win with, and I'll take Franklin here. Leads us to the Patriots, a huge wide receiver need as well for them. What are your thoughts at least there? Do you take another receiver on the clock here?
For the Patriots?
Yeah, they also could use a tackle. They could even use an interior offensive lineman as well.
Yeah, too far away. I think this is going to be... I guess I'll go with Roman Wilson.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. They needed targets. He's a good target over the middle. I think that'll really help, especially with their quarterback and Drake May needing a guy. It leads us to the Cardinals. They ring Peyton Wilson high. He's had a couple of shoulder injuries. I know some people have wondered about TJ Tampa. There's Kamari Lassiter, at least, who's one of the guys who is honestly pretty nice, because if he came to the Cardinals, son of Kamari Lassiter. This is the spot where I'm taking Chop Robinson. I don't know if he's that guy that you take in the first round, but he's got the athleticism and he's got the burst that I think that you can teach. He's going to be a little bit lighter, but 6'3", 250 with some of that athleticism. He's an alien-like athlete. I think you put him and BJ Ojulari on the same field. I think that that would be the pick, and that is our last pick here of the mock draft. Do you have another guy that you like anymore on the board? Do you think the Cardinals could go at center? Do you take a Peyton Wilson? Do you even say, hey, you know, Buda Baker, we've got a guy here in Newbin who can probably fill that safety role. You got a need in the secondary. Maybe you get to shift a little bit more corner play. Obviously, the cornerbacks are a huge need for Arizona. I really feel like Max Melton would be a guy that I think you could probably get, who could fall to you at least in round three. And I think that he could be a guy similar to Garrett Wilson who gets starting time last year. I'm probably just going to take, I also could argue, could Jordan Morgan be a guy you take? That's maybe your left guard of the future. I think that Chop's athleticism, an alien-like athlete, I think this is the spot where you take him. I don't know if you take him at 27 if you're Arizona. I do think that you could probably make a move up, get that guy in Byron Murphy, and then you say, all right, we've got our edge rusher, we've got our defensive tackle, we got a bunch of defensive tackles, we've got another edge rusher. Suddenly, you kind of feel like the Cardinals front seven just needs a linebacker to kind of mark that off of that rebuild. And I think that Chop is a no-brainer for me to take here at pick 35. Do you have a disagreement, Marcos?
No, I'm taking Chop Robinson.
Yeah, that's pretty simple. And that will be it for our start of our first two mock rounds of the Arizona Cardinals picks. We can at least be able to notice that we have selected for the Cardinals Marvin Harrison Jr. We traded a third rounder move up for Byron Murphy at pick 20, and we took Chop Robinson at pick 35. I think that's a pretty good haul. Marcos, if you want to shout out to our viewers for where they can find you and your work and also your podcast appearance this past week.
So if you guys wanted to find any, I was on the Red Rain podcast. Also, you can find me over here, obviously, at the Red Boot Reboot. You can find me on X at Pancake Soul. And you can find some of my writing at AZ Sports Underground.
Absolutely. And again, just to recap, in that haul for the Cardinals, Marvin Harrison Jr., moving up for Byron Murphy the second, and Chop Robinson at pick 35. Thanks again so much for tuning in. Make sure you're following us on our YouTube channel at Redbird Reboot Podcast on Twitter/X. I'm Blake Murphy 7, and for Marcos, we just finished up a 2-round mock draft for the Arizona Cardinals. You guys have been rebooted, and that means it's time for us to log off. Good night and good weekend to everyone else.
Guys, have a good one.